Today on Real Radio.
It doesn't matter how good you are, you must be born again. It doesn't matter how moral you are, you must be born again. It doesn't matter how religious you are, you must be born again, without which you will not see the kingdom of heaven.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher delivers a presentation on salvation. Now, maybe you've listened to Real Radio for a while and some elements make sense, whereas others may not. Before you go any further in this life of scripture study, our teacher asks quite possibly the most important question of all. Are you going to heaven? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
While you're turning to John chapter 3 and pulling out your note paper that's in front of you, in the seat in front of you, I'm going to ask you to jot down the very crux of the whole message this morning. It's found in verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly," that is truly, truly, or absolutely necessary, is this: "I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This is the word of Jesus Christ. This is his take on what it requires of us to enter the kingdom of heaven. He is the authority. And we're going to look at some of the things that surround this truth. It's been said, by the way, by many people, I'm sure that you would agree, that not only is John chapter 3 a very powerful chapter of the Bible, but it has been said that John chapter 3 and the first 16 verses are the most important verses of all of the Bible, because we find in John chapter 3 the demand put out by Jesus himself that each individual who is desiring, who would like to go, who wants to live in heaven, must come by way of rebirth. There must be a new birthing that takes place in their lives. Jesus is asking us this morning, are you born again? And this is the great question, and it depends on what denomination you might visit. They'll give you a definition of being born again. In fact, many of the cults today say, well, we're born again. And yet when you ask for the definition, it's altogether different than what the Bible says. But many people say, yes, we're born again. But what does it really mean? Jesus not only tells us that we must be born again, he's going to show us how to be born again. He's going to show us why we need to be born again, and the things that surround such a great demand of Jesus Christ to all those who would, as we put it in Christianity, be saved. There is no salvation without being born again. In this event, in this life-changing experience, we understand that if a person is born again, by the way, everything of life comes falling into its proper place. Politics, friendship, love, life, work, everything. It is the absolute most important thing to talk about, and that is being born again. And this morning, we're going to look into a very fantastic portion of Scripture. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, saying, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus answered and said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Are you of the teachers of Israel or the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? This is a very serious portion of Scripture, as you can now tell. It's the meeting between Jesus Christ, God's Messiah, come from heaven to earth. It is a private meeting with a man who is the teacher of Israel. Nicodemus occupied a level of religious power in Israel that he was second to no one. There was the high priest, and then there was Nicodemus, who was the teacher. He commanded and he headed up all of the teachers, all of the rabbis in Jerusalem at that time. He was a very, very powerful man. It's exactly equivalent to Billy Graham coming and saying, Jesus, what do you mean? That's who Nicodemus is in his world. Very important man. Jesus is going to tell him, you need to be born again. All of us, by the way, have been born once, haven't we? We're here, aren't we? I would think we're all here this morning. We've been born once. The Bible says, Jesus says we must be born twice to get into the kingdom of heaven. Why? First of all, there was one birth that was into this world. We came via mama. Nicodemus is thinking, I got the first part, but immediately he loses track and thinks, now I must go back to my mother. He's thinking these thoughts strictly on an earthly level. Jesus says, as radical as your life was in coming into the world, just as radical is the new birth in Christ. There has to be a drastic, radical change. And at the expense this morning of maybe offending someone or running someone off, I don't intend to do that, but I do want to say the truth, and then I can wash my hands. I believe that when we were born into this world, our lives changed from living in an aqueous, warm, watery solution inside of our mother for 9 months. It changed so drastically that we came into this world, you know, ladies, your body began to go into convulsions and fits to push out the baby. And when that baby came out, that baby came into or from one world into another world, and poor little kid, that kid was greeted with a spank, huh? Welcome to the world, you know. Glad that you're here. The kid cries, draws air into his lungs, and there the baby is brought into the world. That baby, if you could interview that baby, if that baby could talk, that baby would say, what in the world is going on here? I'm naked. It's cold in this room. This guy's slapping me on the rear. They're sticking me in the heel. Someone's poking my finger. I want to go back where I came from. He couldn't go back. 9 months' time had come. He had grown to the place where he couldn't live in his home anymore. He had to come out. She had to come out. Born once into this world. The Bible talks about our spiritual birth being just as radical. I want to ask you this morning, are you born again? Can you point to your life and say, my life is radically changed having come to know Jesus Christ? I know by statistics, I may be speaking to half of this congregation that understands what I'm talking about. It's the other half that I beg of you this morning to listen to the Bible. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Word. I'll be careful to go verse by verse. But are you born again? I don't know why you came here this morning. Maybe you were dragged by a friend, or maybe you were drugged by a friend to get into this building. I don't know. Maybe you were bribed. I don't know. But you know what? You're here now. Don't even think of getting up. The doors are automatically locked. You can't leave for an hour. Don't even attempt it. This is exactly what you need to hear. You may not like me. It doesn't matter. Look to the Bible. Look to the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, share with somebody around you. But this is the most important topic that you'll ever hear, and it comes from none other than Jesus Christ himself as he speaks to this man, Nicodemus. And by way of introduction, we want to look at something before we get into our first point, and that is, number one, it doesn't matter how good you are, you must be born again. It doesn't matter how moral you are, you must be born again. It doesn't matter how religious you are, you must be born again, without which you will not see the kingdom of heaven. So if we get our yarmulkes on the back of our head, we get our robes on, we have our sandals on, we come walking by night with Nicodemus, a little bit behind him off to the side, to eavesdrop into a conversation that the Bible has recorded, and it is the paramount chapter of the entire Bible, Old and New Testament alike. This is what it's all about. So the first thing that we see here right now, look to your Bible with me, is this. Are you born again? We're asking this question, who can be born again? Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The first thing I want you to see this morning is this. In your note-taking, who can be born again? First of all, only those whom God has called. Who can be born again? Listen, it's very, very important. Only those who God has called. Uh-oh, wait a minute. What if God hasn't called me? Well, that's your problem, huh? No, I say that with tongue in cheek. I want to provoke you this morning. Maybe you don't know Jesus personally, and the Bible makes it very clear that many are called, but few are chosen. The Bible makes it very clear that before the world was ever created, God knew those that are His. Who can be born again? Those whom God has called. Is that you? I hope so, but that's for you to discover. Not in your own way, not on some little, you know, I'm going to grow my hair out and get some beads and wear some tie-dye clothes and get a stick and walk around the world and try to go out and find myself and all the intervene. No, it doesn't mean to go on some strange quest. It means to go to the Bible and find out what it says. This is the book of life. This is the book. I was speaking at a school this week in Mexico, and I said, this is the word of God. And young woman said, I don't believe it's the word of God. I said, you don't have? Yes, a men have written that book. It's full of mistakes. I said, show me one. I go, come on, in front of this whole class, show me one. Well, I can't find one here right now. I said, well, wait. See, people think, oh, you know, you can't trust the Bible. No, you read the Bible and you find out this is God's map to life. This is the word of God. It speaks to us what we need to hear. We may not always like it, but it's truth. I don't like 55 miles an hour, but it's the law. Don't reject Jesus as Lord and Savior. So you might be sitting here this morning saying, well, gosh, man, I hope I'm called. And listen, if you're thinking those thoughts this morning, I got good news for you, friend. You're called. You want to know something? Those who are not called of God, who are vessels for wrath, based upon His foreknowledge, they don't care. They're not pursuing God. They're not coming to Him and saying, you know what? I don't care what it takes. I'm following Jesus Christ. They don't think like that. They don't even say that. They may be very religious. They may be very moral. They may be very good, but they don't know Him. And they don't want to know Him unless they're in control. And to that, God will not submit. Who can be born again? Those whom God has called. And the word here is, there was a man. Anywhere you see that in your Bible, get happy about it. Jot this down in your notes, will you? It's very important. John chapter 5, verses 2 through 6. I'll just paraphrase it quickly. It says there in verse 5, now there was a certain man who had an infirmity for 38 years. Whenever you see that there was a man or a certain man or a certain woman, you'll read that in John's gospel, when there was a certain woman by a well. Why does it say certain woman or a certain man? Because in the Bible, God intends to do something about it. What about you? I got good news for us. We are certain people. That's why we are what we are and who we are and why we're here. We are certain people. There was a certain man who had a child, as the scripture says, possessed with a demon. Why does it say that? Because if you keep reading, Jesus delivers that child from demon possession. See, when God says there was a man or a woman or a certain man or a certain woman, He's focusing in. So vital is the first three words of this study. It's incredible how just a few words here, that there was a man here in our Bible, verse 1, it throws us back to the last three verses of chapter 2, which simply says there that the people in Judea, in Jerusalem, believed on Jesus Christ because of the miracles, those signs that He did. It means that they were superficial believers. They'll believe in God as long as they can get stuff out of God. And the moment God seems to be turning on them, they turn to God and say, why have you done this? Why are you doing this? You ever hear people say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. And then the moment tragedy comes to the life, they either A, bow their knee to God and come to know him, or they shake their fist at a God they said they don't believe in, and they say, I hate you. Isn't that funny? How pressure in this life causes every man and woman to have to determine some path regarding Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men to myself. And you know that's true in your life right now. You must consider Jesus. You may not like it. You may want me to shut up. But the fact is, you must deal with Jesus. And he's going to ask you this question. In your life, when you were on earth, were you for me or were you against me? And some people will have to say, I was against you. Some people say, I chose not to make up my mind. And Jesus says, these will go away into everlasting torment. And the Bible says that he weeps over the death of the wicked. He doesn't want you to go there. Joshua said to the children of Israel, choose you today whom you will serve. If Baal is God, worship pleasure. But if God is God, worship him. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, no one comes to the Father except through me. John 14, 6. John chapter 6, verse 44 says, Jesus is speaking, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. Are you thinking thoughts about God that you might want to know him? My friend, those thoughts have been infused into your heart. The Holy Spirit is inviting you to come to know him. Listen, I'm going to share something personal and then don't repeat it outside this place. When I was a new believer, I got so frustrated because I thought when I hadn't read enough of this to realize, I thought I could be good enough. Now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to, you know, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. I'll take it from here. And I thought I would just be like Mr. Holy Moly. And I'm not kidding, man. You wouldn't stand to be around me. I prayed for 4 hours every day for years. I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray. And then I caught myself falling asleep. So I thought, God, I'm sorry, I'm failing you. So then I took all my clothes off at 4 o'clock in the morning and went into the bathtub, a cold bathtub, to stay awake so I would be diligent at prayer. I was a sick person. And then let's go share Christ with people. Let's share Christ with people. I wasn't sharing Christ with people because it was out of the love of my heart. I was sharing Christ with the people because this is what Christians do. Come on, let's worship the Lord. There's no life to that. I was the most disgusting person to be around. And God, I tell you, he got me in a headlock and he made me cry out, Uncle or Lord, until I gave up. We must be born again. There is a certain man. This man, he prayed all his life. He knew the scriptures. He knew everything. And unless the Spirit draws you, as the Spirit is drawing Nicodemus here in our study, we're lost. Very important. There was a man. The second thing that we see this morning is this. Who can be born again? Well, those whom God is calling, and also those who see their need. It says that this man was a Pharisee. His name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler, and he was Jewish. A Pharisee, a ruler, and a Jew. A Pharisee means this man had rights, so to speak, to God by virtue of his education. He was a Pharisee. This man studied God all his life. His life was dedicated to God. The second thing, he's a ruler. He had a lot of influence and power. By the way, in that day and age, he also had a lot of money. They were very wealthy. The third thing is, he's a Jew. He's a son of Abraham. He was a shoe-in for heaven, if anybody was. Yet this man comes to Jesus, and he's urgent for his soul, as we'll see soon. You must have a need of Jesus Christ in your life. Jesus Christ is Savior of the world. But listen, for you to receive him as Savior, it assumes something. It assumes that you and I need him as our Savior because we are what? Kind of hard to say. We're sinners. We've missed the mark. We're not perfect. Ushers, watch those doors. We're not perfect. To say that we're perfect is to say that God was a fool in sending his son to the cross. God sent his son to the cross, which means I've been the fool. I'm a sinner. Jesus doesn't condemn us. He died on the cross to set us free. Do you see your need? Nicodemus is urgent about his soul. He sees his need. Even though he's wealthy as a ruler, he has the lineage, grown up in the synagogue, grown up in the schools, and even though he's reached a position of being a Pharisee, he's everything that that culture would have said, that guy's going to heaven. Do you know anybody like that? You point to them and say, that guy is going to heaven. Well, how do you know? How do I know? Well, you know what? They read their Bible all the time, they pray all the time, or they do all kinds of good works. That doesn't get you into heaven. That's not the ticket. Nicodemus had every bit of good work, and it didn't account for anything. Are you born again? The question we're asking, what does it mean to be born again? Well, it all depends on who you ask these days, isn't it? It depends on if you ask a cult. They got their own definition for the word born again. Even some denominations say, well, you're born again, it refers to water baptism. That's how you're saved. You're born again by water baptism. That's not in the Bible either. The word born again literally means that we're born from above. We have a birth that transpires or originates from above. The word born again means this, to be born a second time, and it implies from heaven. If you read the context, it's very clear. So, verse 2 and 3, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God because no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. That's verse 2. Real quickly, I don't want to spend much time on this, but what we want to look at here regarding the fact that we need to be born from above, Nicodemus is quite a special man. When he calls Jesus Rabbi, this is truly a sincere word of honor and recognition. And some ancient scholars believe that when Nicodemus used the word rabbi, he was awakened to the reality that for nearly 400 years, God had been silent. And there's a bit of excitement in Nicodemus's words. Rabbi, associating him with the ancient prophets, you are the one from God. This is what he believes. He doesn't know much, but he believes that the things that you've done, Jesus, I've watched you. Every bit of indication points to me that you are the Messiah. Now listen. He based that upon the last three verses of chapter 2, where it says there that the people believed in Jesus, but Jesus didn't believe in them. Remember we studied that last week? They believed in his signs, but they didn't commit themselves to Jesus. They didn't believe in him as the Messiah. They just liked what they saw. You know, fair weather relationship. Nicodemus is not that man.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio, causing us to face what is quite possibly the most important question of life. Are you going to heaven? It's a cut-to-the-chase presentation, as it were, examining John chapter 3, among other biblical passages, on the wondrous transformation that occurs when one comes to faith in Jesus, the divine Messiah. We'll continue with more on this theme on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, visit us at realradioactive.org for more resources that will help you better understand what it means to have a reconciliation and relationship with your Maker. realradioactive.org. Or call us at 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. If you're a regular listener to Real Radio, remember that there's still a few days left in 2011 for you to be involved financially. Real Radio is listener-supported, and all contributions are tax-deductible. Again, call us at 877-RR-RADIO or visit us at realradioactive.org. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.